It's that time. We are joined here on Discovery Road with John Morrow, City Manager of Port Townsend, as we are every week, and it's always so fun. John is, let me turn you on there. John, here you go. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. So glad you made it. We were just speaking a little bit about themes and what's going on around us right now, and this is John's idea, and I think it popped into his mind, the theme of food, and so that's where we're headed today. But before we get started, we're going to talk with John a little bit, and then when I announce that I'm going to take calls, write this number down now. It's 360-215-7270. A couple things to remember, and that is when I pick up the phone, you will be immediately on the air. So, you know how that goes. And you can also just write me, tim@kptz.org, if you would rather have a question that I just read off to John Morrow. So I'll keep my email open so that we're ready to do that. What else? Oh, I think that's it. Oh, the other thing is, yeah, please wait. If somebody's on the air speaking, wait until that person hangs up to give a call to that number, because it makes things much easier. Anyway, that said, good morning, John.
Good morning, Tim. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, we were talking about food. How'd that come into your mind?
Well, you know, I'm hungry most of the time, so that's pretty easy. And I guess I was, you know, just thinking about all the different systems here in town that are having to adjust and change and adapt and be more resilient, including KPTZ. I guess call-in was never kind of in your remit, and now you do call-in. So that's pretty impressive. Well done. And I know you've done an amazing job being adaptable and in making sure this community gets what it needs from the airwaves. So just like that, I think about food. And maybe it's timely, maybe because I'm thinking about it, but I know that there's a lot of opportunity out there for those who actually need food. And I guess my first thought is that that's an increasing number of people, at least anecdotally, given the fact that people are losing jobs and businesses are having very difficult times. And I just thought it'd be useful to let people know a couple of the opportunities that are out there if you're in need of food, because so many great people are at work providing free opportunities for people. One of those is the St. Paul's Episcopal Church. They do a no-cost Just Soup lunch on Tuesdays and Fridays, and I think they're actually starting up tomorrow from 11:30 to 1:30, which is great. It's at 1020 Jefferson Street at the Episcopal Church there, and really appreciate the volunteer team who got in touch with me and said, hey, this is something we're doing. Of course, a huge shout out to the school district. During school closures, they're providing anyone under 18 years old free meals. No forms, no registration, nothing. An adult can pick up the meal for kids, and they're available weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. At Salish Coast, at the high school, at the county airport, and at Cape George Fire Hall. It would be impossible not to mention the food bank, because we're here at Food Bank Central, at least one of the many four food banks in Jefferson County. They're all open. And this one particular here is still open on Saturdays from 11:30 to 2 for seniors 65 and over, Wednesdays from 10 to 3 for families and individuals. And look, they're doing curbside pickup. And, you know, a good friend, neighbor of mine actually does, is one of the many, almost 100 volunteers for the food bank. And he told me that, you know, it's going really quite smoothly, given the fact that, you know, there's an increasing need and there's an increasing number of people. And people are asked to stay in their car and they'll be given a preloaded box of food. And I guess the last one I wanted to mention is coming up on April 25th. And I've also noted with great respect for the Jefferson County Farmers Market and the agility that they've had to use themselves and with the businesses to really think through how they do the farmers market. And they postpone opening until April 25th. You know, from my personal experience, this is a great community gathering, and that's not something that's going to be possible, at least right away. So they're promising a small, tightly managed farmers market with a very clear safety and health plan to keep people protected and make sure that, you know, this is essential item. This is essential business of getting food to people. It's not a place to go and socialize and enjoy the community benefit that the farmers market again will be. But in the interim, it allows vendors to sell their food. It allows people to get what they need. And I'm very inspired by the hard work of Amanda Milholland and the team to try to make that actually work. So look, four opportunities there. Just thought I'd start with food, Tim.
Food.
Does it make you hungry?
I'm always hungry. I'm kind of like you that way, except that you have a much better metabolism than I do, I think. But yeah, that's an interesting point about the farmer's market. That had to be an excruciating decision. And it's such a large part of the fabric, the community, the socialization that we do. I mean, I look forward to the goat parade. I mean, I don't know. I have a thing about that every year. You know, you go down, you see your friends there, and to take that element, well, I guess to suppress that element a bit, we are looking and we're paring it down to the essentials of what the farmer's market is to the farmer and to the community. And it's about fresh food being there. So it'll be interesting to see how they walk that particular minefield. I'm sure they'll do a very good job. There are the vendors, there's the food bank, there's the restaurants, struggling restaurants out there. Everybody forced to be creative at this time. And, you know, I have to hand it to the community. We're doing, I think, as well as anybody can do in that respect. Well, the main thing is we are all still eating. And like we were speaking earlier, this is, I mean, after I'm done singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall, I have not a lot to do, and I don't think I'm alone in that. And so I'm planting a garden, vegetable garden, and I don't think I'm alone. I think that there are a lot of people out there this spring in particular that are planting gardens. And so that's the other element that will be interesting to watch as we go forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Tim, you know, I'm doing the same, and I'm very much enjoy gardening, and I know a lot of folks in this community do. You know, and I think I'd be remiss not to mention, like you did, the local businesses that also can use some support through gift certificates or just by buying takeaway meals. And even the, you know, the retail, you know, the QFCs and the Safeways and our local co-op who have changed their practices to keep people safe. You know, they're making sure that the you know, sanitizer is available, that carts are wiped down, that people have hand washing stations, that there's, you know, ways that they protect their essential workers who are there every day. So I guess to me, food is one of those subjects that kind of brings everything together. It's about localism. It's about local economy. It's also about the global reach of the way we've decided to do our economic system, because there's these weird big picture impacts on labor and inequality. There's an environmental component undoubtedly to it. And I feel like this region does such a great job demonstrating how to do sustainable agriculture. You know, and of course, there's a human element, you know, the people in the land. So to me, food is one of those, you know, kind of overreaching, you know, meta ideas that kind of brings together most of the systems that we need, because we need food.
Yeah, nothing brings it closer in focus than food. So at this time, I want to put this out there. The phone number ready to take calls, 360-215-7270 or tim@kptz.org if you have a question for City Manager John Morrow. So phone lines are open. See how that goes. So there's been, it's been a week. There's always interesting things going on here in Port Townsend. I know that many of our festivals have been postponed or canceled. The Thing is canceled, as far as I know. So as you're here in this holding pattern that we're all in, having been relatively new to the job, is there a project that you just can't wait to get started on, but it's kind of in limbo right now?
Oh man, there's probably so many of those, and I think of projects as not just the physical stuff we build, but you know, the way we enhance our existing public spaces and bring people together, the experiment in democracy that we are in, you know, getting people to get involved in decision making and serving on boards and commissions, and having their say with critical matters. So there's just a huge raft. And I think there's a lot of tragedies here to what we've had to pause and stop and change. But I look at the 2020 work plan that, you know, I crafted along with my department directors and city council members, and you know, it's kind of out the window. So, there's a lot of great things on there. So, some of those need to continue. Our negotiation with the mill on the water contract or water operational agreement, that needs to progress. That's essential. So, I'm excited might not be the right modifier there, but I mean, it's a critical thing that needs to happen, and it's going well, and we need to keep it moving. There's some public works projects that are, you know, state or federal funded with a very substantial match. So one of those is Discovery Road and the walking cycling path there. That's, design is something like 87.5% matched. So very little cost to the city. And a huge component with, millions of dollars to build from outside funding. So we're motivated to keep that moving. So I know the public works team is moving that forward pretty quickly. I get excited about something like that, frankly, because, you know, I spend most of my time on 2 feet or 2 wheels around town, and I know a lot of people do. And to add to that infrastructure and to connect up Rainier, where there will again be significant retail, there may just be residential along to toward the school on Discovery Road, is a fantastic opportunity. So we look forward to that one. I see a call, Tim.
I do too. Hi, you're on the air, KPTC.
Hi. Well, you guys have been talking about food, and I have a question about, after the governor's order is lifted, do you have any idea, John, what the plan will be for Port Townsend restaurants to open? Have you started looking at that?
That's a great question. Thank you for being the first caller. How lovely. That worked, Tim.
It did.
Fantastic.
It's like magic.
It is. That's a great question, because I think there's, this is a town fiercely local, you know, and independent and unique. I've learned that quite quickly. That's partly why I'm here. But I think to do reopenings in a coordinated way across the state and perhaps beyond is probably what's on the mind, I know, of Governor Inslee, as he's working with governors on the West Coast and the East Coast. And I know that's on the minds of our local leaders, and I've talked with some of our state legislators recently, and of course, my city council members who I report to, and of course the businesses. So I think everyone's itching to get going again. There are the sense I get from maybe the governor's announcement last night and kind of press briefing is that those things that were last to turn off will be first to turn on. And those that were kind of the first to go down will probably take some time to get back up. So I'm thinking things like construction. We've got a clear issue with affordability here in Port Townsend. We need to build affordable homes and housing choice. And so I think something like that will be very early on the list. I think the governor signaled that. And then I'd say local businesses. And I have to hand it to our local businesses. I mean, those who are still in operation with scale to crews, delivering takeaway or allowing pickup. I mean, they're fighting for their lives, and they're doing a great job, and we're trying to support them as much as we can. I know that this is a conversation that the elected members I report to think about and we talk about every day. So I'd say as soon as we're given the go ahead, it's certainly something that we want to move quickly with, and we want to move quickly and not trip over ourselves. So at least my current thinking, and we don't necessarily mandate this for anybody from the city, but my current thinking is that we need a very visible, ambitious approach to safety right away, until it's quite clear that the concerns around the virus are diminishing. And that's for a lot of reasons. It's for your personal health and safety, for those consuming the food, but it's especially for those who are there on the front lines preparing it and delivering it. So those practices will differ by business. They will differ by sector. But I think I know this is a conversation that we've been engaging with the EDC and the chamber and the county and public health. And as soon as we're given the go ahead, there's an intention to get that moving.
Thank you for that call. Again, that phone number, 360-215-7233. 770 if you have a question for City Manager John Morrow. And I want to put one to you. I'm almost a little reluctant to do this, but I will anyway. And this one is from email. And the question is, what is the city's plan regarding the deer population downtown? So here you go, man. It's all yours.
Hey, great. We have a deer problem? That's news to me. No, look, I get that one. And it's funny. I used that as an example last week, I think is what we're laughing about here is something that clearly the community is concerned about. And so I don't want to dismiss this question. It's a good one. And I've firsthand witnessed the challenges we have with our deer population and the wide variety of opinions about how to deal with the problem. So I said this before we had to close City Hall by governor's order and not have open public meetings in person. But I said that, you know, we've been discussing with the state the right approach. And while deer is a problem in other places, it seems a little unique here to Port Townsend at such a scale and something I've never seen. So I know there's state interest in working with us as sort of a test case for the region. And the conversations we had early on were quite promising. And I know that in my discussion with city council members, this was something that landed on our work plan. We're going to do it this year. That it's kind of a little too early to tell if that's possible, because I think the first step is we want to pull together a citizens task force to deal with community deer management. That's not really the top of the list right now, if I could just be honest. We've got other more pressing critical needs, but I do still have the intention of going down a path of using the broad base of citizen opinion and expertise, helping firm up what the options are, helping firm up what the problem is. Some people see the problem quite differently than others. So let's get a clear understanding of what we're dealing with, and then let's work with the state, because frankly, the city has very limited options on what we can independently do to manage our deer population. If we work with the state, those options increase. And if we pull together a plan and an action plan, then that's something we could actually work on and harness the energy in the community and the good ideas. So I can't tell you yet whether this is going to be able to happen this year, but I certainly have a plan for how to roll this out. And I'll count on those like the person who wrote in their question to participate.
A bit of advice, if you put together an advisory council on this, put a couple deer on the council. You just, you know, find a few representative deer and things will go much smoother. That is it's interesting to know that we are a kind of the poster child for deer management in this state. Word is out there. Word is out there. Again, questions for John, 360-215-7270 or Tim at kptz.org. You know, Kate Ingram put out a little email to give a name to this segment. And I believe it was you that came up with it doesn't roll off the tongue, no. I have to tell you, Brewocracy Now, because this is coffee with John Morrow, and it's something that John has been doing at the local coffee shops, and we've switched gears to do this online. So Brewocracy Now, hey man, I got to give it to you. That's great. That's great.
It's cheesy.
It's greatly cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, that maybe says a lot about who I am, so I apologize to everybody listening, but, you know, it was sort of this combination of, yep, we're drinking coffee right now. Is it bureaucracy or democracy? Your choice, listeners, on what you think the city is. And then, you know, I'm inspired by people like Amy Goodman and who report, you know, fiercely report the truth, and little play on Democracy Now. And if you haven't listened to her, I would suggest you do so.
So from this point forward, this is Brewocracy Now. And I have to stop and think before I say that. A question that came to me via email last week when it was too late to read it. And the question is, music. What's your favorite music?
Oh, my. That's such a great question. I'm always on the back foot with that one, as you could tell by tap dancing right now. you know, when I left my home this morning, my daughter was playing with some toys, and she kind of went around and gave an example of what the superhero power of each of the toys was. And there's a little bunny, and she said, you know, that bunny plays really good jazz music. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. It kind of reflects what my daughter gets to listen to. So I do say, and I know there's some great jazz and some great blues here that, you know, one of your colleagues, Barney, gets to put on every Friday night. You know, so I actually used to have a blues and jazz show at my college when I was in university. So that's one thing. My daughter also said that this bunny loves rock and roll. And so, you know, guilty as charged. And when I first walked into the studio, maybe second time, Tim, you were playing Greg Brown. I'm a sucker for folk music and, for, you know, a lot that gets played here on Discovery Road. So in terms, and, you know, my wife would want to hear that I'm interested in some more pop music and can tolerate it at least. So I'm pretty eclectic. I do dabble with piano and harmonica and trumpet and, you know, a variety of other instruments myself. I'm terrible, but I really enjoy playing music. And if I had to kind of boil it down, I think it's perfect that I'm here in Discovery Road, because this genre and this particular segment is probably closest to my to kind of where I'm at most of the time.
Well, we're pretty eclectic here when it comes to jazz blues. We have Taylor Clark and Bill Mercier, Barney Burke. We are kind of all over the map. I'm glad you understand how eclectic this can actually be, because I always say to the audience, it's like watching television. You don't watch everything that is on television. You have your favorite shows. And so that's what we foster here at KPTZ, so that you can pick one and listen to it every week. I had a feeling, in fact, and this goes back to another email, which said that you have a great radio voice. You're going to put me out of a job, man.
I can't compete.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that you had some previous radio experience, because you would do this very well. The number, we have about another few minutes if you would like to give a call and speak to John at 360-215-7270. So until I get another call, I'll ask you one of my stupid questions, given that that the budget must be exceptionally difficult to figure out at this point in time. Any chance we can get a monorail here in Port Jackson? That's been my pet project for going on 10 years now. Horse-drawn, monorail, Water Street. Come on, what's not to like? Can we fit that in, John? Can we make?
Oh yeah, I mean, why ask for just one when you can get a couple? You know, there might be a 2-for-1 sale really for monorails. Just ask Seattle. You know,
yeah. Well, I'm thinking a quarter inch longer than Seattle. I'm happy.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's not a stupid question. I think you know, this is something that's come up in conversations when I did this in
oh,
person.
Oh, please don't say that.
Oh no. I mean, people love the idea of old trolleys. People love the idea of rail. You know, it's just so great to see this community out walking and biking. Oh, we got a call. I'll pause my reflection there.
We'll go from monorails to caller. Hi, you're live on KPTZ.
I am. Can I talk at the same time that you're talking?
You can talk all you want.
Magic.
You're speaking to John.
Oh, there. I hear myself, but it's delayed. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had one question. Now I have three. But now that you're talking about a monorail, I've always wanted something like a, what do they call those things? Like, not a chairlift, but a
gondola.
Gondola.
Yeah.
A gondola that goes from down near the ferry up to the post office.
Do you know that my public works director right now is probably screaming at me?
That would include a place that people could get off and put their bicycle on it also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't my original question. My original question was two of them. One was not a question as much as a request of when there's information of various help for people and stuff, it's almost always just they say, simply look it up on such and such. Mm-hmm. What about people that don't have computers?
Yeah.
So more phone numbers for information. That's a request. That's not a question. But now my question is, I vaguely heard a rumor that somebody is working on getting less stringent codes about people living in gypsy wagons, trailers, tiny houses, and that is there any work happening on that? Because especially now, there's people that are homeless, but there's an in-between part, people that can't afford regular without doing work that's dangerous, like being out, like if we need to have space, you're supposed to stay home and shelter, and can't afford a home?
Yeah. It's a good question.
And there's a lot of creative tiny house stuff going on, but then where do you put them?
Okay, here we go, John.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think in the spirit of eclectic conversations and questions, I mean, we've got gondolas, phone numbers, and tiny houses and gypsy wagons. So well done, caller. That was very well done.
Yeah, gypsy wagons and tiny houses.
And tiny houses. So, hey, I've...
Just a matter of wheels or not.
This is the first time in my history that I've heard of the term gypsy wagon. So I have to just plead ignorance there, and maybe Tim can fill me in as he's drinking his coffee. But I do know that the Planning Commission has received some input from one of their new members, actually, who has been really an advocate for tiny houses for quite some time. And that's a discussion that has been now brought to, you know, a representative body to the city. So, you know, I guess I can give you my personal take. I mean, I guess it's good to know that there is a conversation around other options for housing, because clearly at this point, and especially now, it's hard to imagine people being able to afford a normal structure. A lot of people can't, and so it's my belief that anything we can do within reasonable limits of things like safety and making sure that the wider impacts on the larger community are not severe, the things we could do to unlock those opportunities, we should be looking at. And so I think it's early days, but it sounds like we're looking at smaller homes. I know that my Department of Development Services director is really thinking about these options. And I know the whole team is thinking, how do we unlock opportunities for affordable housing, workforce housing, and just start building more? So I know that that's something that is also germinating now in this time of public health crisis, because you know, even though the work of permitting and whatnot and construction has slowed to only essential construction at this point, it does give us a little time to think about how, when we're back on, we go great guns and actually build what people need. So clearly the city doesn't build houses, but we do have quite a lot of things to say about what you can build and how easy or how difficult it is. And it's my commitment to you and to anybody listening that, you know, that's not always a balance we've gotten right. There's a lot of misunderstandings all around about what our powers are and what we can do and what we need. But let's have a conversation. And as soon as I'm able to, I look forward to reaching out to anybody who's interested, particularly the development community, to think about how we get that right. So I think, you know, tiny homes and gypsy trailers, cool. That's one of the many pieces to this. But the big picture is, how do we actually create places for people that they can afford and they can live?
And yes, and again, that's a discussion that I'm sure that you'll be hearing a lot about. Gypsy wagons, caravans, I suppose New Zealand would be the caravan. I noticed a lot of that type of living. Oh, I have one more call. Okay, caller, I'm going to take you, and I only have like 1 minute. So here we go.
Quick question.
Hi, you're on the air, KPTZ.
Sorry. The question was more about the codes on where to put them. There's a lot of, and it's not a new thing to have a little place. There's a whole book about Shed Boys from way back.
Okay, so the question, Laura, is where to put them, right?
In your backyard, you can't rent it out because of the codes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Okay.
So good question. I think that's the easiest thing to say quickly is a work in progress. I know that we've been historically, I think, the first city in this state that did accessory dwelling units in the backyard. So we have innovated and led the way, and we might just do so in other means too, but it's yet to be decided.
Well, thank you, John. We're out of time, but fun as usual, although a little eclectic. We've gone from deer to gondolas and Zeppelins, who knows? But I always appreciate you coming in, and really, it takes a lot to be able to just answer these questions cold, because there can be some tough questions. So to answer them in real time, appreciate that.
You bet.
Don't think I could do that.
Oh, you can. It's so fun, and thank you. And look, I look forward to when we could do this in person again with a real cup of coffee in a community. And until then, honestly, Tim and the whole gang here, it's a real pleasure, and I'm really grateful for you making this happen.
Thank you. And next week, same time, same place. Is that good?
We're on.
Okay, we're on. You're tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.